Today's scripture comes from John 19, chapter 28, verse. After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I'm thirsty."
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Though I walk in the midst of troubles, Lord, I know that You will revive me. You will stretch forth Your hand against the raft of my enemies, and Your right hand will save me. Singing hallelujah, let the name of the Lord be forever praised. Singing hallelujah, praise His glorious name.
We appreciate you, Brother Fred, in that message. I couldn't help but think of Jesus on the cross when I thought of that message. I know there were many things that were not spoken, many prayers I'm sure offered as our Lord was on the cross. But we do have these words that we know that He spoke. Seven sayings from the cross, they're called. And today we're going to look at the fifth word. The word that I would call the word of passion. And that word passion, of course, has changed in meaning over time. And now it connotes ardent love or desire, for example. But the word comes to us from the Latin, and it originally meant to suffer. Now, from the cross came Jesus' words of pardon. We looked at that. The first words that He spoke were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then words of paradise as He turned to the repentant thief and He said, "Today you shall be with Me in paradise." And then words of provision, how He, even in His hour of suffering on the cross, He thought of His mother and and entrusted the care of his mother to his beloved disciple John. And then there were words of propitiation. My God, why have you forsaken me? The veil was parted and we catch another glimpse into the mystery of the Godhead and how God the Father had to forsake God the Son on the cross, because the Bible says our sins were placed upon Him. And in fact, He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. And God the Father had to turn His face away because God is holy and could not look upon sin. And then today's word, the word of passion. These words that Brother Curtis read in John chapter 9 and verse 25, and I just want to call our attention back there to that one verse of Scripture, and might help you to have the Scripture open, but the words will be up here if you don't. I want to look with you at three reasons why I believe Jesus spoke this word of passion. Now, some would say, well, I mean, He was thirsty. What's so deep about that? Well, I think that there are some things here that maybe are not conveyed just in the mention of just that one two-word phrase there, I thirst. I think in the Greek it's just one word. So a very brief expression of the thirst. But there's more to it than that. And I want to share with you what I believe we can learn from this fifth word, the word of passion. Again, it says in verse 28 of John chapter 19, I just want to read the verse again. It says, after this, now you can go back and know the things that have happened up to this point. God the Father had forsaken His Son on the cross. He had to, because God, again, God is holy. The Bible says that God made Him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. And I really believe that we need to understand that. And the 3 hours of darkness that were on the earth during that time betokened the forsaking of God upon the cross. That's why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it wasn't an expletive. He wasn't saying, you know, He wasn't taking God's name in vain. He was stating the truth. All things, it says, were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus said, I thirst. Why did He say it? Well, I believe, first of all, to expound prophecy. In Psalm 22, and here is the prophecy expanded. In Psalm 22 and verse 15, we find the words of the psalmist, which have to be more than just the words of David. Now, these were words that David penned, but surely they spoke and speak of the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That phrase is found in that psalm. Just a veritable picture here of the cross before us in Psalm 22. And in verse 15, this victim said, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou hast brought me to the dust of death. And in Psalm 69, verse 21, it says, they gave me gall for my meat, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And we read after that that it says that a jar full of sour wine was sitting there, so that they fixed a sponge full of the sour wine on hyssop and held it to his mouth. It says when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And then bowing His head, He gave up the ghost. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. So these were prophecies that were in the Scriptures. Why did Jesus say what He said? Well, partly at least, to expound prophecy, or to fulfill, if you will, prophecy. Jesus was always concerned with making sure that the Scriptures were fulfilled. He said every jot and every tittle would be fulfilled. That means every minute portion of the Word of God would be fulfilled. Why? Because Jesus is faithful and true. And He wants us to know that. He wants us to have full confidence in His Word,
that not one word that He has spoken would fall to the ground without being fulfilled. And so here we have prophecy expounded. We also have the expounder prophesying, if you will. Jesus was always interested in honoring Scripture. For example, He said the Scripture cannot be broken. And when He came to, after His resurrection, and He walked with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, He showed them in the Scriptures all of the things pertaining to Himself. It was a Sunday afternoon. And He had several hours, perhaps, to kind of walk with them through the Scriptures and point out those Scriptures that spoke specifically of Him. And so He showed His concern that every jot and every tittle in the law, that means the smallest marks of those Hebrew letters, kind of like the dot of our I's and commas that we put in our writing, everything, Jesus said, would be fulfilled. And so I think behind that one word, or that in our translation, two words, I'm thirsty, or I am thirsty, that would be three. There's more to it than maybe we have thought about. We have the lesson of expounding prophecy. He did this to expound prophecy. He did it also, He spoke these words also to exhibit humanity. Now that's pretty obvious, I think. But it may be so obvious that we missed the lesson here. Jesus was fully human. Jesus wasn't just God coming down and living among us. Yes, He was God living among us. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Clearly teaches that Jesus is God. But we need to realize that He was fully human as well. I think because we may think, well, He's God. He can do anything. He could have, He didn't have to go to the cross. He's God. He didn't have to be born in a manger. He's God. He didn't have to suffer. And when He did suffer and die, what did it matter? Because He's God. But we need to realize that He was also fully human. And I think of that other time that in John chapter 4 and verse 6, it tells about how Jesus went through Samaria and He sat by a well. And do you remember that? A woman came out to draw water. Most believe it was around the middle of the day. The translators differ in their opinion about that, but I think it was probably in the middle of the day, the heat of the day. And Jesus, we're told, was weary, tired from His journey. And so a woman came out to draw water, and we're told that Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." He was thirsty. And I think here we see also Jesus fully human. We can gain comfort and confidence in that fact, knowing that, as the Bible says, He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He walked where we walk. He felt the things, the sorrows and the trials that we feel in this life. He knows our sorrows. We can be comforted by the fact that He is fully human, but also faithfully human, which means He was not a part of our fallen humanity. That's why the clear teaching of Scripture about Jesus being born a virgin is so important. Because the Bible also says that as in Adam all die, but so in Christ shall all be made alive. When we were born into this world, we were born with a sin nature. There's no one who has escaped that sin curse except Jesus, because He was born in a supernatural way. He was the God-man. God was His Father. He was fully human, but He was also faithfully human. And in Hebrews 2:9 it says, "We see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Just put your confidence in Him. If you've not done so until now, know that He has walked where you walk, that He feels the hurts that you feel. And come and trust in Him, because He can fully be trusted. He is faithful and true. He is the one who is the only one who has escaped the sin curse, because He was not only fully human, He was fully God. So He was fully human. He was faithfully human. Jesus came to expound prophecy and to exhibit humanity. But thirdly, Jesus spoke these words, rather, to expound prophecy and to exhibit humanity, but also to express spirituality. I have in my hand the book, The Seven Last Sayings of Jesus by Arthur W. Pink. I have information about this on the website if you'd like to order the book. It's a very fine book on the subject of the seven last sayings of Christ. And I want to read what Arthur Pink says about this hour that had come on the cross and Jesus spoke these words, "I'm thirsty." He said his thirst, and I'm quoting, was the effect of the agony of his soul in the fierce heat of God's wrath. It told of the drought of the land where the living God is not. But more, it plainly expressed his yearning for communion with God again, from whom for 3 hours he had been separated. Was it not Christ himself who said by the spirit of prophecy, "Set it now"? Immediately he emerged from the darkness, speaking of the darkness of the cross, as the hart or the deer pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for thee, O God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do not the words which follow identify the speaker and reveal the time that the longing and panting was expressed? And the words that follow are, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God?" So very enlightening words here about the object of his spirituality. Again, that verse from the Psalms, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" This was right at the close of this hour, really 3 hour period in which the Bible says in a divine transaction that we may not fully understand, but yet we accept by faith, that God placed upon his son, the sins of us all. And he was made to be sin for us. And God the Father had to turn away his face. He could not look upon sin. And so there was a time of forsaking on the cross when Jesus said what he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then at the close of that period, he spoke these words, "I thirst." There's an object to thirst, object being God the Father, and an object, an offering of his thirst. I love the Psalms, and I think they are so expressive of a heart of worship for God, but also so enlightening prophetically. And in Psalm 63, verse 1, a Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, it says, now he was you may know that David was a fugitive. He was hunted down like an animal. King was Saul, and Saul hated David, wanted to take his life. And so he chased him around from place to place in the wilderness of Judah, a very desert land, hot, dry. And David wrote when he was in the wilderness of Judah, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Now, David was called a man after God's heart in the Bible. Here we see it. David, really a type of Christ here. Really a type of Christ on the cross. A picture beforehand, if you will, of Jesus suffering on the cross. So longed for that time that he could be in communion once again with his Heavenly Father. Now, with most Christians, I dare say 3 hours wouldn't be very long to be out of fellowship with the Lord. But with our Savior, it was like an eternity. It was like an eternity compressed into a 3 hour period, that darkness, mysterious darkness. Nobody really knows what caused that darkness, but it had to be the fact that the Creator, the Bible says Jesus, created all things. God created all things through him. Now, would the creation not have suffered the effect of this, of God the Father forsaking Jesus on the cross? There are many wonderful things here that give us, again, another glimpse into the wonderful heart of our Lord Jesus, His heart of love, not only for His Heavenly Father, but for us. He wanted to bring us together, to take one hand and reach down and take our hand and then reach up to His Heavenly Father's hand and to bring us together.
I bring you more than a song, for time.